And the Red Wings, oh, they give it away to Fowler. And now Fowler for Kyrou at the line. Then Holloway shoots, and he scores! Holloway with a blast from the deep slot. And the Blues with...
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.
It's the Chris and Amy Show today on KMOX with Brad Young. I'm Chris Ranji. It is Christmas Eve and hope you're doing well today. It is time to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line and we visit with our guy Bernie Miklas, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And he is with us now as the Blues last night get a win over the Red Wings. What's going on, Bernie? And Merry Christmas Eve to you.
Merry Christmas Eve to everyone listening to us, and thanks for always letting me be part of your show a couple times a week. Appreciate it very much.
Letting you?
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be. You're obligated. We need you.
I don't take anything for granted. Everyone at the station's rolled out the welcome mat, and I'm so thankful to be part of KMOX again. So I'm never going to stop saying that. So anyway, how's everything going today?
Everything's going okay. What do you think of the Blues? So they get that win last night. It's their second win in the last, seven games they've played. So, you know, things haven't been great in the last couple of weeks, but they get that one against Detroit. How do you think they're playing?
Well, they're still struggling to score goals. It's pretty erratic. And that was the case before the coaching change. And it's been the case under Jim Montgomery. And it may be more of a roster personnel issue because there's been a pretty radical transformation of this team in the area that to me is the most important strength you can have, which is preventing goals. I mean, the Blues have been exceptional in Jim Montgomery's first 14 games. At all strengths, they rank fifth in goals allowed per 60 minutes. They were 25th before the change. At 5-on-5, since Montgomery took over, the Blues have allowed the fewest amount of goals per 60 minutes in any team in the NHL. And before the change, they were 27th, and now they're first. And they just don't give up goals. I mean, they're very, very strict about that. And then they give Binnington and Hofer a chance to shine because the Blues, in another huge change, they're now controlling the high danger areas at both ends of the ice. The other team they're not getting nearly as many chances from the great areas, and the Blues are cashing in on a lot of grade A chances. So that part has been a big change. And I've always believed if you can establish the foundation of keeping the other team off the board in a very consistent way, you're going to win a lot of hockey games and you're going to get through some lulls. And I think 2-3-2, my goodness, that's going to happen to even the best teams in the league during the course of a season, but they came out of it okay.
Bernie, Brad Young here. And as I'm hey, nice to talk to you, sir. As I'm looking at the game from last night, the 4-0 game where, of course, the Blues beat the Red Wings. I saw that there was booing on the home ice for the Red Wings. And so that raises the question, that 4-0 win, is that because of from the strength of the Blues play, or were the Red Wings just having an off night, or maybe a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination because the Red Wings have really been an enigma. Their rebuild has gone on way too long. And they're still not getting traction, and they're not playing well at all. And I don't, you know, they're very passionate hockey fans in Detroit, and I think they're just fed up with it. I get it. I don't blame them. But on the other hand, you know, that's the Blues had gone through their own little disappointing stretch. And I think before the Christmas break, the final game, they were determined to go in there and just take over the place, and they did. So, you know, a good team, and I think the Blues are a good team, even though they have a 500 record. But since Jim Montgomery became the coach, they got the 12th best record in the league, so they've improved quite a bit. But one of the things you got to do is you got to win the games you should win, and you should be really strong on the road. And they've pretty much checked those boxes. There's been a couple of glitches, but they've pretty much checked those boxes since the coaching change. But they were very authoritative last night, to say the least.
Talking to Bernie Miklas here on KMOX and shifting over to baseball, we knew Paul Goldschmidt was not going to be on the roster in 2025, but he has signed a deal with the New York Yankees. So as you see that contract, it's that one-year contract. He's going to be in a pretty good lineup, and now he'll be part of that. How do you see him? How do you view his tenure in St. Louis, and now what do you expect from him that he's with the Yankees and a team that's already pretty good?
There were a lot of positives for the Paul Goldschmidt season, six of them in St. Louis. A lot of positives. You know, he won the MVP in 2022. The team made the playoffs in four of his 6 years. They, in 2019, they beat the Braves in the LDS. It was their first postseason series win since 2014. He won a Gold Glove, a Silver Slugger. What else did he do? I mean, there was all kinds of different awards. He got MVP votes in four of the six seasons. And, you know, the Cardinals were still considered a really strong team, one of the best during his time here until the final couple years where everything kind of went south. And, you know, the fact that he and Nolan Arenado offensively had slipped was a factor in that, but not the defining factor. It was a factor. But on the other hand, and again, because if we're going to point out all the positives, and I think it was great to have Paul Goldschmidt here for 6 years, class act, total pro, all that stuff. But during their time, you know, they were 4-11 in the postseason, and after they beat Atlanta in that series, they were 1-9 in the postseason since that one triumph. So they sort of fell off the stage as a factor in the postseason, and that's been a huge disappointment. And of course, having two non-playoff seasons in a row, that would go on the list of disappointments as well. There's not much you can do about a ball player getting old, so his offense has tailed off. But I think the Yankees made a smart gamble, because if you look at his batted ball stuff last year on StatCast, he still hits the ball really, really hard. He's got a really good exit velocity. He slugged about 470, 473 the final 3 months of the season. He was hitting a lot of doubles. He needs to draw more walks and quit chasing pitches, but if he can just get his plate discipline back, I think they can get a good season out of Paul Goldschmidt. And contrary to public opinion, that ballpark does play favorably in terms of power for right-handed hitters as well as left-handed hitters. Left-handed hitters get most of the attention for the way the ballpark plays, but Goldie hits the ball to the opposite field a lot. So I actually think a bounce-back chance for him is pretty good.
We're talking to Bernie Miklas, and Bernie, obviously there's some big holes to fill. You've mentioned Goldschmidt. We've also got Arenado and potentially losing Ryan Helsley. So the question becomes, do you look to fill those holes, or are there other holes that need to be filled first when you're talking about offseason moves?
Well, if they can manage, if they can trade Arenado, and you know, as time goes on, I still believe they will, but maybe I've lost some confidence that they will. That there's more of a chance, maybe, of him staying than I would have imagined, because it's a pretty limited market for him, and they're going to have to eat a lot of money to make a move. But the plan is to play Nolan Gorman at third base, which I agree with because that's his natural position. And they have got to determine in 2025 whether Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker can become the kind of hitters and players that the Cardinals envision. And it's a huge year in that regard. I don't mind having a reset year. If they trade Helsley, this would be a great time for them to find out if Ryan Fernandez can be the closer. Ryan Fernandez is very, very good. He's got one of the nastiest wipeout sliders in Major League Baseball. And Ali Marmol did a great job bringing him along slowly as a rookie and putting him in more high-leverage spots. And Ryan Fernandez was really outstanding. I think he can become a good closer. So if they trade Helsley, the way I look at it, they don't need to go out and sign anyone. They just need to see what they have within the team. And that would start with Ryan Fernandez getting a chance to be their closer. That would be a huge step if they can establish that him as their closer going forward beyond 25.
You know, and talking about the trading of Nolan Arenado, which the Cardinals are trying to do, there was that report that they had turned down, the team did, a deal that would have brought Marcus Stroman to St. Louis. What are your thoughts on that deal? Would it have been good for them? What do you think?
No, I don't think it would have, because there was a little confusion about his vesting the vesting option. But I got that clarified last night. If they made that trade, the Cardinals, it isn't that they would just owe Marcus Stroman $18.333 million this coming season, but they would also be on the hook for another $18.33 million in 2026. So you're talking about $36 million. And he really collapsed at the end of last season. I mean, his final 10 starts or so, his ERA was in the sevens, and he didn't even appear in the postseason. They didn't trust him. So I think he's kind of a pitcher in decline. He makes a lot of money. But more importantly, or just as importantly than that, the Cardinals need to give some rotation time, rotation spaces to some of their younger guys. And you can't do that if you're adding Marcus Stroman. It makes the challenge even tougher to find space in that rotation for Michael McGreevy, then maybe Quinn Matthews, their top prospect, maybe Tink Hentz. I mean, there's some other people they want to look at too. So they can't really add a mediocre starting pitcher who makes a lot of money. I mean, they've kind of been there, done that for too long. There's no need to actually bring one in.
I know, Bernie, that you had some thoughts on what you – what you would perceive to be a successful year for them next season. What would that be?
It has nothing to do with wins. It has nothing to do with whether in a playoff race, because I think this season is much more important in terms of the Cardinals' future. They need to establish Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman and once and for all just find out, okay, what can we really expect from them in the years ahead? It's a chance to give Ivan Herrera a chance to grow into the catcher's job and improve his throwing and being able to catch base stealers. He was their second best hitter last year behind Wilson Contreras. He has a chance to be really special. So if they can establish him as the catcher of the future, it could be exciting. Andre Pallante, it's a successful season if he builds on the success he had last year. And if Michael McGreevy, who's been very impressive, albeit in a small sample, but if McGreevy can establish himself as a guy to go forward with, if Thomas Ejasie can sort of take on, inherit that Tommy Edman and Brendan Donovan role being the super utility guy that you can move all over the place, if he can establish that, that's a really big plus. Not Lars Nootbaar staying healthy, playing 140 games instead of 100 games would be a very big deal. And Mason Wynn getting to the next level in terms of his overall development. He's already really, really good, but you know he can even get better, and that would make for a successful season. There's a lot of other factors too, but those are the things I look at to determine whether 2025 is going to be good or disappointing or somewhere in the middle for the Cardinals.
All right, Bernie Miklas, we appreciate it as always. Have a terrific holiday. Enjoy the next couple of days. And as we say goodbye, well, we'll talk to you on Tuesday. No, we'll talk to you Thursday. We'll talk to you right after Christmas. Tell us about Saliga.
I'll be in studio Thursday, I believe.
Oh,
anyway,
awesome. Yeah.
Yes.